All right, just let's start with injuries. You know, Sharice, many of you saw Sharice yesterday. He's day-to-day with a calf at this point. No long-term concerns at this point on that. And then Cordy remains week-to-week with the ankle. And then finally, Sammy continues to build a good foundation, and we'll continue to monitor that on a day-to-day basis. So with that, I'll take your questions.
Has Cordy had a setback? Because now you see him in a walking boot.
Yeah, that's just all part of his rehab process, just trying to protect the area there.
Hey, Sean, a few questions on the camp schedule that came out. First of all, the first thing, it's shorter than we're used to seeing here. It's about a week shorter than they've been in Rochester before. Address that, and I'll have a follow-up.
Well, first and foremost, we're excited to go to Rochester. I'm a big believer in camp in and of itself in terms of what we try and get out of camp, and objectively that's coming together as a football team, building the toughness of the football team. Those are all of our objectives, and then we're excited. I'm excited to go to St. John Fisher in the Rochester area. We've got a lot of fans up there, and I can't wait for them to come out and watch us practice and go through our process and earn the right to win. The length of camp, we're always going to do what we feel is best for our football team and this organization. In this case, we felt the timing was right at that point to get back.
And then the other question is, in the past they've used these night practices as a big marketing tool that gets standing room only crowds. Why only the one this year?
Well, we've got one when we first head up there. We've got one down here, I think 10 days in. And those are great opportunities for us to again, get in front of our fan base, as you mentioned, and Sal, and then also for us to increase the intensity. So, we just, again, feel schedule-wise that going out, getting our work in the morning, and sometimes we get in the summer, get the pop-up thunderstorms and whatnot, so it gives us some flexibility once we get our work in throughout the rest of the day, and putting our players in a position to be successful.
Sean, what are the benefits of going away to camp versus having, you cut it short and have some practices here where you have put a lot of money into facilities here and things like that?
Yeah, I get that. That's all part of the decision-making process, if you will. At the end of the day, it's about us getting ourselves ready for the season. And make no mistake about it, going away, I see tremendous value in going away for the reasons I mentioned earlier about building the team, about building our identity as a tough football team. If you don't do that, it's hard to do that in week one, week two. You've missed your opportunity. So those are great opportunities for us to accomplish that, and we'll get after that in a few weeks here.
One last thing on the camp. It's, in the past, the marketing arm of this franchise seemed to have a big say in what happened at camp. They tried to regionalize the franchise by going to Rochester. And those night practices were almost like not a walkthrough, but they weren't as intense as a regular practice. Is the football department making more of that call? You want your practices to be less of a show for the fans and more of a football preparation type of thing.
Well, I'll start with the part about what was done in the past. I wasn't here, so I'm not sure of exactly what was done in the past. I know what we're going to do going forward, and this has really been an organization team decision of what works best for us. And so, again, the fans of Rochester and that area are of huge importance to us. We value those relationships, and we look forward to building on those relationships as we go up there in a month or so. And the intensity of practice and a show, I mean, really, we're going out there to get our work done. I don't believe in doing anything but that for any other reason than to win football games.
Follow up on what John asked earlier, are there any long-term concerns with Cordy Glenn?
Not at this point. We expect him at this point, anticipate him to be ready to go for training camp.
And to follow up on that, just the tackle picture in general, when you don't have him out there, when you are putting a rookie in his spot, in Deion, and you're still maybe trying to figure out what right tackle is all about, give me your overall sense of the position, and is there some discomfort going through this offseason where you really don't maybe have the handle on it?
I'm confident, honestly, Vic, in the talent we have at that position, the competition we have at that position, and the options we have at that position. You know, we obviously drafted Deion. I think Jordan Mills has had one heck of an off season. You look at Michael Ola and his flexibility to play inside, play outside. The work that those players have put in addition to the players behind them, has been tremendous to this point.
You talked up Andre a couple of days ago. There's a sense that he kind of got lost in that receiver core in Oakland. Do you think we may be seeing a glimpse of what he was capable of while being behind two very good players?
Well, we do. I mean, you know, when you look at the target in the free agency time period there, we identified players that we felt fit what we were looking for, our DNA, and the body of work that Andre has exhibited since coming into the Bills organization has been exactly what we thought, if not more. The intangibles, the DNA again. You know, he's built like we want them to be built in terms of the insides, and he's a servant. He leads. He plays special teams. He puts the team first. Those are the qualities that we look for in our players.
Coach, with respect to Jerry Hughes, he's had some of his best production in attack, up the field type schemes for defensive linemen. Your scheme certainly subscribes to that. Do you feel he can kind of get back to that kind of production in your scheme?
Well, he's had a great offseason. That's step number one. Man, he's flying off the football right now. It's fun watching those guys, and I stand sometimes, most of the time, on the offensive side of the ball just to keep myself out of harm's way, because those guys are coming, they're flying off the football, and that's fun to watch. And really, as a defensive background coach, if you will, that's the name of the game. It starts up front, but it really starts up front on both sides of the ball. There's been great competition between Jerry and the tackles he's gone against, and as Vic mentioned, that's been fun to watch. And then you add what Shaq's put on tape this offseason. We have to continue to build as an overall team, specifically with those two as well. But I like where they're headed at this point.
Hey, Sean, with Shaq Lawson, I don't know how much you saw of him. Well, I'm sure you saw plenty of him on tape. In that 3-4 scheme last year, he seemed a little bit out of place with his skill set. Do you feel that in a 4-3 – the way you've got him lined up, this is going to be a better fit for him all the way around?
Well, you know, again, going back, the 3-4, I have some experience with the 3-4. I know what I saw on tape. I also know what I saw in college from Shaq. Being at Clemson, me being at Carolina, we were pretty close and actually worked Shaq out going through the draft process a year ago down at Clemson. So was familiar with Shaq's skill set, who he was as a person. That said, you know, as we all know, when you transition to the NFL, it's a different game. I like where he is. I like his skill set. You know, Brandon and I both liked him coming out of college, and I think Coach Waffle and Coach Terlink have done a phenomenal job, and that I'm pleased with that unit overall up front in terms of what they've been able to accomplish in terms of our philosophy, again, in terms of attacking the offense and winning up front.
Coach, with Kyle not being available the last couple of days, Jarrell Worthy's been filled in. Guy's been here for a couple of years. What do you see in him and what he brings to the table at the defensive line spot?
Well, again, Jarrell is a player that I knew coming out of college at Michigan State and have followed his career over the years. You watch the skill set, the ability to affect the quarterback. He brings great energy to the practice field every day, and I appreciate that. You know, work remains at that position in terms of Jarrell and all of us, really. So it's a different game. When you get in pads, how are we going to look as an overall football team? You know, as we all know, we've been around this league long enough. We're playing, you know, shorts football and helmets only right now. So, you know, but I'm encouraged by what he's put out there so far, and he's a valuable part of what we do.
Sean, for you, how do you feel Tre'Davious White has taken to your defense and to life of the NFL through this point?
Yeah, really, you know, I've had to sit back in my office up there and ask myself, why haven't I noticed Tre'Davious in terms of why am I not concerned about him, right? I mean, as a defensive coordinator, I was, you know, a lot closer to the defense at times, and so I've been asking myself, Joe, is it because of that or is it because he's just integrated himself so smoothly into the NFL and what we do? He's mature beyond his years. you know, really what we thought he was coming out of LSU. He's made plays on the football. I mean, he has shown up in that regard in a positive light. And when I look at there, when I look out there, I'm looking at a player that, you know, is, again, he plays like a second or third year player at this point. That's credit to him, credit to the program at LSU, Coach Aranda down there, and again, Coach Bird and Babich here and Coach Salgado. I think Leslie Frazier's background certainly helps, being a corner himself in terms of Tre'Davious's transition to the NFL.
Sean, what do you make so far of the backup quarterback position, and how much of an open competition is it for that number two spot?
Yeah, and you guys have heard me say this before, it's open competition for every spot. We all have to earn our spots on this roster, and that's something that's been addressed, and it's going to be addressed again and again and again, and I just believe in that. You know, we all have to earn our spot, and I'm encouraged by the body of work that they've that TJ and Nathan and Tyrod have put out there. And so, you know, this period of time for us as a football team, when we finish today through until we report to training camp, will be critical for us.
You see Mike Tolbert fitting into the offense in terms of just how many carries he might get. It seems like at the practices we've seen this week, he's gotten a lot of work. Is that just the way it's worked out this week, or could you envision, you know, a big role for him on offense?
Well, I personally know what Mike brings to the table. Brandon and I both, you know, really. So he offers great leadership. He offers great position flexibility, which is important. He plays special teams. You know, I mentioned before, he's a good dancer. So, you know, the list goes on. I mean, there's value in a player of his caliber with his experience. He's won football games. He's been a part of good football teams that have won big games. And that's where we're trying to go as an organization and what we're trying to provide.
Sean, when you listed the body of work that some of the quarterbacks have put out there, you failed to mention Cardale. He seems to be the fourth guy right now. And the fact that you guys drafted Nathan, is Cardale in a tough spot right now?
Yeah, I thought I mentioned Cardale when I went through. But either way, yeah, I mean, Cardale is absolutely in the mix. You know, I've watched him grow in the 4 months, 5 months since I've been here and gotten to know Cardale, and certainly appreciate the way he attacked getting his diploma. Let's start there. I think that we talk about winning off the field, and that's an important part of it. So credit to Cardale as far as that goes. The important part for our football team and Cardale is that he continues to stay on the grind and keep his foot on the gas pedal to improve the way he needs to improve, and he's very aware of that.
Do you envision a situation where you can keep four quarterbacks?
We'll see. I mean, there's certainly position value at that position in terms of we saw what's happened in the past and how people look for quarterbacks. So we're going to keep the best 53, and it doesn't have to be a certain number at this position. We're keeping good football players, and if that means four quarterbacks, that's what we'll do, yes.
I know this is a question probably more for camp when it comes and close to preseason, but since you think about so many things in the big picture, how do you approach preseason games? Like, do you have a certain philosophy of what you want to accomplish? Is it really just about playing time? Is it trying to, you know, really the scoreboard matters, things like that? What is your kind of philosophy on preseason games?
Well, my philosophy, Sal, is to get us ready for week one. And, you know, the scoreboard always matters. That said, we are focused on, and we will be focused on when it comes time for preseason games, on our process. We will be looking for certain things that, you know, we need to hit certain markers by that week one, preseason week one, week two, week three, so on and so forth. So what's important to us is again, that three-foot putt that we're standing over, that we can handle that mentally, and then the fundamentals part of the process leading up to that first week of the regular season.
Sean, what's your expectations from the players during this gap between minicamp and leading into training?
Well, it's an important part of our process. You know, we've discussed it this morning. We're going to discuss it again before we leave town. And it's important that we, as you've heard me say before, we win off the field first. That's how you set yourself up to win on the field, and that we handle this time off the field with class. number one, and then we put in the work to earn the right to win as a football team, myself included, and that's really where it starts. So that's what I expect, and the players know that, the coaches know that, but it is a period of time on the calendar where things happen. So we have to make sure that that we stay, mindful of that, aware of that, and that we do things the right way.
John, as a coach, is this 6-week period worry you?
Yes. One word answer. Yes, it absolutely does. I mean, it does. It's it's a period of time where things tend to happen, and that's been brought up. We've talked to we've discussed that as a team, and so pray every night going to bed that as a family we do the right thing, and the good Lord takes care of us, and the same thing with the players, because I worry about them. I do worry, care about them, and we're all a family here. So that's a big part of it.
Sean, a bit of an off-the-wall question, but about a year ago, Rex Ryan was here and announced, declaring that the Bills had won the offseason. Would you be in that position to ever say that, do you think?
I don't know if we've won the offseason. I'm not into that. I'm into the process. And I'm into where we are in our process and focused intently and only right now on that. So that's what I'm focused on.
Coach, you're getting to put money down, you're going Mayweather and McGregor.
I love the competition. I am a Conor McGregor fan. I love the edge and I've got some Irish in me here and there, so I will be watching. I believe it's in August, right? August 26th, so I don't know where we'll be at that point in time. I'm just worried about tomorrow right now, so today and tomorrow. But, I know our players will be watching. I love great competition, and that'll be fun to watch. And there's always something we can learn from situations, and that'll be fun to watch. So.